Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents The Fan Late Night with Sean Drotar.
Joining us now is the fan Cecil Lammy. You catch him on these airwaves on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and of course all the time on 1043thefan.com. And Cecil, it's good to talk to you today because Brandon Allen is the new starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos due to Joe Flacco's injury. There are three quarterbacks available for the Broncos: Allen, Brett Rippon, Drew Lock, and they all have one thing in common. None of them have taken an NFL snap. But you remember going, you're a draft, Nick, and going back to the draft in 2016, Allen was taken in the sixth round. What do you remember seeing from him when he actually played a down the mattered?
Yeah, and, you know, he played some big games. I mean, some seven touchdown games against Ole Miss and Mississippi State specifically in his final year at 2015. And I remember watching Brandon Allen down at the Senior Bowl where I was hired to work as a consultant for an NFL team and wrote him up. I wrote up all the quarterbacks that year. And that was the year Carson Wentz was there. So he stole all of our hearts. But when you look at a guy that had a solid week of practice and really is what we thought he was, right? You come in, he's going to measure a little bit smaller in the pre-draft process at 6'1". His hands were the smallest of any quarterback that was invited to the scouting combine that year, but it never really was a problem for him. He didn't turn the ball over a lot at Arkansas. His final year, when he's slinging the football around, he only had 8 interceptions and he only had 4 fumbles. So really the hand size thing didn't really matter. Plus he overcame a bunch of adversity. This is a guy that took over for Tyler Wilson. Not really like Tyler Wilson at Arkansas when he was their quarterback, but it was so rough for him at Arkansas that fans vandalized his truck. First they ate it, Sean, and then they torched it. They actually burned his truck to the ground. So he could have easily transferred, said, "I'm out of here, these guys are crazy." He stuck with it. He stayed there, and he became better and better each and every season. What you notice about him is that accuracy and the fact that he doesn't waste a lot of time getting to that decision. Now, he does lock onto his targets, and this is a, you know, something bad thing, something he'll need to fix, but he's not the type of guy that's going to go out there and be confused. He generally likes to attack, although it's usually on the edges. It's not downfield. But he will make more difficult throws even to the middle of the field. So you like the fact that he has toughness, that he's mentally tough, certainly everything he overcame in Arkansas. You like the fact that his arm, while not an absolute cannon of an arm, it's strong enough to make all the throws. And what I really enjoy about watching Brandon Allen is that mechanically he's sound. Bootlegs and rollouts will be back. And I tweeted this out earlier tonight, just some GPS data of Joe Flacco. We're talking about a straight drop-back passer, and that's really not what we – you know this system, Sean. Like, it's bootlegs, it's rollouts, and they weren't doing that with Flacco because he can't do that. And I think it was, by my count, against the Colts 3 times that he was outside the tackle box, you know, on design plays. Like, this is something now with Brandon Allen because mechanically he's very sound. He throws well on the run. I think Allen's the type of guy where you can reintroduce bootlegs and that this offense can actually look more true to form now. And it sounds weird because Allen's never played before, but he's the type of guy that, you know, some people say Case Keenum, Lance Zierlein, dear friend, and talk about a great mind. His dad was the Steelers offensive line coach forever. And Lance Zierlein from NFL.com, one of the best guys, one of my best friends out there. And he compared him to Case Keenum. I had a comparison of Brian Hoyer. So not quite on that Kirk Cousins level, and I saw Cousins at the Senior Bowl. I saw Brian Hoyer at the Shrine Game. You know, he's not quite that level of Kirk Cousins, but I see a Brian Hoyer type of player that could be a nice spot starter for the Broncos. And I think with his athleticism, reintroducing these bootlegs, these rollouts that you didn't do with Joe Flacco could be kind of refreshing, I would say, for Broncos fans on Sunday.
Now, refreshing, of course, and I agree. I'm intrigued to see what he can do. But at 27 years old, and as you said, Brian Hoyer being the comp, we're not talking about the future quarterback of the Broncos here. We're talking about a spot starter and maybe a guy that's a longer-term backup. But Brett Rippon also has eyes on that role. To my mind, Brandon Allen needs to start this week. I get it. But as far as the situation with Drew Locke and Brett Rypien, do you have any insight as to what's going on there? Because if you zoom out at the macro level and say, okay, you have three quarterbacks, none of whom's taken an NFL snap, one is a journeyman backup, one is an undrafted rookie, and one's the second round rookie that you traded up to get, the one guy that you don't think is going to be left out of the equation is the one guy that looks like he is going to be, and that's Drew Locke.
Right, and I just wrote about this tonight for 104throughthefan.com. It'll be out there tomorrow. I actually don't think for this week. Now, we get after the bye, and then you and I are going to have a much different conversation. But for this week, I'm okay with Rypien over Locke, and here's why. One, he's been actually throwing the football. We know that Drew Locke has been an observer. I've seen him out there. You know, thumb's fine. It's been fine for a couple of weeks. But Brett Rypien's out there, and now he's running the scout team. But here's what both of these guys are doing. They're both working with virtual reality technology. And because of that, I give just a slight advantage. I know it's practice. I know Brett Rypien's running the scout team. But here's a guy who played a lot of games at Boise State, played in, you know, big contests, made plenty of decisions as a passer. And when I watch these young quarterbacks that are thrust into lineups, you know, whether it's Gardner Minshew, and I don't think that Brandon Allen is Gardner Minshew type, but when these guys are thrust in, you want those guys that made a bunch of decisions that started, you know, 3 years in the SEC like a Brandon Allen did, or however many years, 4 years either that Brett Rypien did at Boise State. The Drew Locke thing, also from people I talked to, let's just say around the building, he's got to be better middle of the field with virtual reality. Like, that's been a problem from the sources I talked to, is that, you know, Drew Locke has to make better decisions, even with virtual reality. We're not even talking about taking it to the field. So you have a guy that I believe after the bye needs to seriously be in the conversation, because you're facing a top 10 pick, maybe even a top 5 pick next year. You have to know whether or not you're going to take a quarterback. But with Drew Locke, just from what I know, is that there's struggles in the middle of the field that he needs to clean up with the virtual reality training that he's using. Brett Rypien, I don't hear that. Now, I haven't asked much about Brett Rypien, but I've been around Rypien and talked to him in the locker room. Of course, I'm out there most every day. Not today, because of the damn snow, but still, like, you look at the situation, I go, okay, but for 1 week, I understand why Rypien would be in over Locke. And again, I explain it further in an article that's coming out tomorrow. But after this week, I think it's preposterous if Drew Locke doesn't not even just play. I think it's preposterous if he's not the starter.
Looking at the way this all broke down, and I actually agree with you. I don't have a problem with this week, but I do wonder, when you look at the three guys, the Broncos have said they'll activate Tim Patrick. That makes sense. You've traded Emmanuel Sanders. He was pretty good for you in that role as a backup wide receiver, and he's a good special teamer. But out of the three guys that are left, Jake Butt doesn't make much sense to activate. And I understand they paid a little money for Theo Riddick, but it wasn't breaking the bank. And if your quarterback can't hit him, what does it matter anyway? Did the Broncos blow it? I thought they did, but tell me if I'm wrong. Did they blow it by not activating him as soon as he was healthy and eligible, so he could have been practicing with this team, whether it was for a potential injury or just so you could eventually find out what you've got?
Yeah, and I never liked the, like, we got to babysit Joe Flacco. First and foremost, I don't think that was even necessary. You know, he was a good teammate. I understand from the media angle, people tried to say last year that him and Lamar Jackson, they didn't get along. And I know he didn't respond to his text messages directly after Jackson was picked in the first round. But once they made that switch, and Flacco was banged up, by the way, and it's been 2 years. Here's the biggest problem, Sean, and we could do 3 hours on this topic. The biggest problem with the Broncos is they invested in all these guys who were hurt. And older and hurt.
Oh, yes.
Juwan James, it's Bryce Callahan, it's Theo Riddick who's been hurt. And then Joe Flacco, I know you look 2 years ago and say, well, wait a second, he played the whole year. Yeah, but he had a back injury that entire season. And then last year, the hip injury that limited to what, 9 games, whatever it was? Like, So, you know, now you should have been ready, and you should have been ready with Locke. And if he is struggling in the middle of the field, as people I talk to say he is, well, fix it. Get it right, because the season's going nowhere. It's a perfect opportunity to throw in the young guys, see if you get a spark, see if there's anything to work on. I want to see some more flashes. We barely saw them in the preseason, and there were a couple of flashes. I want to see if that can actually, you know, be sustainable, especially once teams get a little bit of film on you. But throw the kid out there. I know, don't want to ruin him, whatever. Nobody's ready. This whole notion of, like, well, play him when he's ready. Nobody's, you think Gardner Minshew is ready?
Right.
And he was thrown in.
Boy, I hate that argument, like, Cecil. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too, man.
Looking at this then, at this situation beyond this week, and regardless of what the Broncos choose to do with Locke, I'm with you. The whole idea that it's got to be Goldilocks and just right before you play him, that makes no sense. How are the Cardinals looking? Real good when they started Kyler Murray in game one? No, that doesn't work. You go to war with the soldiers you've got. And for the Denver Broncos, after Joe Flacco threw Rich Gangarello under the bus, and then Vic Fangio maybe backed it up a little bit over him, at a certain point, what does Gangarello have to do now? Probably to simplify an offense for Brandon Allen.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we will see that simplification, and it'll force them to run the ball a little bit more and then call some simpler patterns. Now, with Brandon Allen, he does lock onto his targets. So here's what you do. You make him, give him a high-low read. You bootleg, right? So he bootlegs to the right. And let's say you have Noah Fant on a low route, or even Andy Janovich, you know, kind of on a little escape route, what have you. And then you have a deep option. So you tell Brandon, you make two reads and you run. If it's not there, throw it away if you don't think you can run. Because the guy's somewhat athletic. He's not a scrambler necessary, but he can move, the chains and pick up some first downs with his legs. So really, I think by bootlegging it, you make half field reads. You know, so he's not back there in the pocket with the pocket collapsing. You know, the middle of the pocket has been very problematic over the last 2 weeks for the Denver Broncos. So you don't sit him there and force the kid to make full field reads. And he's going one, two, three, check down. No, get him rolled out, give him a high, low read and say, check high, check low. If neither one's there, just run. And make it really simple that way. And it can be effective. Then you're also forcing your hand to run the ball a little bit more. No other target outside of Cortland Sutton's really emerging. Noah Fant did a little bit, right? And we appreciate the fact that he caught most of the passes thrown his way against the Colts. You know, Royce Freeman, Phillip Lindsay can catch some passes out of the backfield, but just keep it simple for this kid. I think bootlegs, rollout should be the order of the day. And, you know, see if there's a little bit of life, a little bit more pep in the offensive step. And if they score over 16 points, we'll know that the pep and the step work.
Boy, that's a low bar to clear. He is Cecil Lammy. You can catch him on these airwaves from 7 to 9, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And, of course, all the content he's creating on 1043thefan.com. Go check that out. Great talking to you. Looking forward to running into studio later this week. Thanks, Cecil.
Be good, Sean.
Cecil Lammy, presented by Golden Oak Lending.
Talked a lot about Drew Locke, of course, with Cecil. Gonna talk more about Drew Locke. But first, let's hear from Drew Locke. We'll do that next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.